From NPR News, it's All Things Considered. I'm Linda Wertheimer.
And I'm Noah Adams. The week after September 11th, President Bush gave the world a stark choice. You are either with us or with the terrorists, he said, in a battle of good against evil. But for many in the Arab world, the choice is not so simple. Resentment runs high towards both the U.S. and Osama bin Laden. Many ordinary people occupy a vast middle ground.
Reporter Sandy Tolan spent time in Egypt and Jordan, two countries closely allied with the United States, to investigate the sources of Arab anger toward the West, an anger with roots both in current events and long-ago history. He filed this report for American Radio Works and NPR News.
In the Arab world, some say, the anger toward the West begins in the year 1096. That's when European Christian soldiers started coming down from the north. They marched for God and for territory in the first of a series of crusades. En route to Jerusalem, they killed tens of thousands. In the holy city, wrote a Christian witness, the blood flowed so thick it was up to the horse's reins. Defeated Muslims vowed to take the city back. A high-walled fortress rises from the hills of western Cairo, the citadel of Salah ad-Din. Here, the past bleeds out of stone. From this strategic hilltop more than eight centuries ago, Salah ad-Din set off for his reconquest of Jerusalem. He took the holy city in 1187, raising up Islam and the Arabs. In the years that followed, he was known for his just treatment of Christians and Jews in the city of three great faiths. His death left a vacuum, a centuries-long yearning for a new hero.
The legend will not go away easily. It triggers a feeling of pride, a feeling of strength.
Film director Yusuf Shaheen sits at the kitchen table in his Cairo apartment. Shaheen is one of the Arab world's cultural giants. A member of Egypt's Christian minority, Shaheen has directed dozens of films, including Salah ad-Din.
When they go back and they say Salah ad-Din, they're trying to find somebody who's as honorable, as charitable, as tolerant, as great as Salah ad-Din, to cover the feeling of, I feel measly. I feel I'm nothing.
Shaheen speaks of the historical weight of accumulated defeat from the Crusades forward, the occupation of the Europeans beginning two centuries ago, the creation of Israel by a UN partition vote in 1947, and the subsequent dispossession of the Palestinians, Arab-Israeli wars in 1948, 1967, 1973, the Gulf War with Iraq in 1991, U.S.-led sanctions and the deaths of thousands of Iraqi children, endless violence in the occupied territories. In short, Shaheen says, countless humiliations among a people proud of their history, their contributions to art, science, literature, music. You can feel this powerful mix of pride and defeat all over Cairo, across religion and class. Outside the Hussein Mosque and down the narrow cobbled walkways of the ancient bazaar, and the shopkeepers presiding over mounds of spices and rows of silver, cheap cassettes and tiny glass decanters. You can feel it out on the boulevards, where appliance shop TVs blare tales of Aladdin recycled via Disney, past the McDonald's, the pubs and cabarets. And down a potholed alley in a poor section of town, and inside to a warm welcome, where you can feel it at the modest home to three generations. First things first, Arab hospitality, chocolate cake and cola for the visitors. In the tiny living room, tacked onto the peeling walls, posters evoking Eden, wild animals tamed in play. The family's shoes are tucked neatly under a chair. This is a working-class Cairo family, religious, conservative. The women are covered, so is the 9-year-old girl. The men, brothers and in-laws, Muhammad and Walid and Muhammad, do the talking.
We are proud. We have dignity. But your attitude makes us feel like we are third-class citizens.
Go back to your history books. You will see that the Islamic civilization preceded you. We helped create your Western civilization.
حساس جدا لدى المسلمين واللي صنعته أمريكا.
When Osama bin Laden swore by God there would be no peace in America until there was peace in Palestine, he brought home an issue that's part of our Muslim consciousness. And America is to be blamed for this problem. That's why there is sympathy for bin Laden.
لتخص الجوهر الإسلامي.
This family grew up knowing that the holy city of Jerusalem, the place liberated by Salah ad-Din from the Crusaders, is under the control of Israel. But Jerusalem is the home of Al-Aqsa Mosque, the third holiest site in Islam. Bin Laden, denouncing a new wave of Crusaders, comparing himself to Salah ad-Din, taps something deep. But so do the battles from the occupied West Bank every night on television.
These images build up inside. Forget about Muslim or Christian. As a human being seeing another suffering and oppressed in his home, and America is silent. But if something happens in a Western country, the world is shaken upside down. So what do you expect from us? We are definitely full of rage.
The anger is directed at American policy, especially U.S. support for Israel. Does this mean that the brothers and their family, frowning thoughtfully, sipping at their Cokes, passing the baby from knee to knee, does this mean they hate America itself? Not exactly.
America is a great country. It's the land of opportunity. I wish I could go there. It's everybody's dream.
Mohammed says he loves American movies. Stallone and Schwarzenegger are his favorites, though it does seem strange how one person can fight a whole army and defeat them. The five-year-old has something to say. She likes Hollywood too, thinks it's funny when the boys kiss the girls, thinks it's a shame we have so many car crashes, feels sad when she sees other children getting killed so many nights on the news.
زينا زيهم بالظبط.
امريكا هتتصرف امتى؟ امريكا هتعمل امتى؟ فهذا معنى ان احنا لسه في ثقه في امريكا.
We still look up to America, but if the situation continues, I hate to say it, but all Muslims could turn into Osama bin Laden.
تحول كل المسلمون الى اسامه بن لادن.
You needn't visit the poor, the working class, or even the devout to tap a deep well of Arab anger at the West, and the United States especially. It's everywhere you look. One afternoon in the Han al-Khalili market in Old Cairo, a young woman approaches us. She's a college student on holiday from Alexandria, very Western looking, with moussed hair and designer jeans. She has spotted the microphone and is nearly bursting with what's inside her.
America, maybe this attack will wake up America. It's about time you feel our pain. We've had terrorism for years. How come the world didn't act until America was hit?
There is a disappointment on behalf of America.
Mohammed Sid Ahmed is a columnist for Egypt's respected Al-Ahram newspaper and one of the country's top political analysts.
America sees itself as having defects, perhaps, but fundamentally a successful society and a successful enterprise. It does not understand why the others don't see it the same way. America is a powerful state, is a very rich country, can be self-satisfied in these terms, does not understand that other societies that have very serious problems don't look at America the way America looks at itself.
As deep as this frustration at the West is, it also serves in some ways as a deflection. In Egypt, criticism of the state is tightly controlled. Political demonstrations are small, infrequent, and restricted to universities. The president's accomplishments are the subject of fawning news coverage while he runs for re-election unopposed. Police or soldiers seem to be on virtually every corner.
There are dictatorial regimes that thwart the growth of any rational opposition.
In his elegant Cairo home on a quiet side street, Abdul Wahab al-Masiri. Al-Masiri is considered one of the Arab world's leading intellectuals. He's the author of an 8-volume encyclopedia of Zionism from an Arab point of view, and a scholar and Muslim thinker critical of the Egyptian government.
Look at the situation here in Egypt. They demolished the Labour Party. Now the rational opposition that could, through interaction with the government, could have developed, matured. It was not given the chance. So what you have is phenomena like that. Terrorists, naive people who have visions, and they become leaders. So it's really the Arab elites, supported by the American administration.
This relationship of the U.S. and the Arab elites, al-Masiri argues, is a legacy of European colonialism, which began when Britain and France arrived in the 19th century to start carving up the Arab world. It's a time al-Masiri knows something about. For years before becoming disillusioned with Western values and embracing Islam, he taught 19th century poetry at Rutgers.
The world bequeathed to us by the West since the mid-19th century is a Darwinian world. The only constant, the only absolute value is power. This is the mechanism to resolve conflicts. This is the mechanism that propels history. This is how you define morality. This is how you define meaning. If you have power, you do what you want. And people have been learning that from the West.
And now that power, al-Masiri says, is transferred in part to Arab governments, who stand in between the desires of their people and the mandates of the superpower.
Like all Arab elites, they are frightened because the street was simmering already. There's one important factor that came into the picture now, Arab satellites. Al Jazeera, you know, we sit every day to see and simmer and get humiliated. Ordinary people, upper class girls, bourgeois, everyone is angry. And the elites know that. They had to move to protect themselves.
One form of protection is to control the criticism, like steam from a calibrated valve, turned open for Israel, shut off for Egypt, adjusted somewhere in between for the powerful benefactor and lone superpower. The state also exerts control through the sanctioning of official history. Amidst the sense of defeat rooted in the past, there's a powerful desire to gaze back upon historical pride, upon rare victory, be it Salah ad-Din in 1187, or the momentary victory over Israel 786 years later, October 1973. Hundreds of Egyptian children come each school day to the October War panorama in the Cairo suburb of Heliopolis, flanking the building, Egyptian tanks and missile launchers. Inside, a diorama of model planes and encampments in the Sinai. A booming voice claims that in 1973, Egypt shattered the myth of Israeli air superiority, not mentioning how Israel destroyed the entire Egyptian Air Force only 6 years earlier.